This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for joining me for this special episode of the Enneagram and Marriage Pod. Today, we are interrupting our regular programming for a very important purpose, the lyrical gems and lessons of TTPD. If you have been living under a rock, you might not know what I'm talking about, but I also forgive you if you're just busy and you don't know what I'm talking about for other reasons, and that is the Tortured Poets Department album of Taylor Swift. Thank you for pressing play. Either way, we are talking today about big picture album, just so that you can be in on the know of the analysis that I have for you about the album after really dissecting it. And then also some of my favorite pieces of the album, as well as some, I think, takeaways for us and cautionary tales as well. So I am so thankful that you joined me, whether you're a Swiftie or somebody who's just leaning in for an unusual episode. I'm just glad you're here. So thank you. I want to start out by saying that I think this is a very, to use some Ennea speak from the get-go, a very Four Wing Five album. I think it's a Dark Night of the Soul album. And I think that we've been invited into an authentic and meaningful space in a way that most artists are not familiar with sharing, perhaps because it's hard. It's very hard to share the anguished parts of you. It's very hard to be that real, that open in your angst, in your rage, in your seasons of grief. If you guys are familiar with those seasons of grief, we know that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross named, there are several that we get in this album, and we walk through the anger a lot, as well as the depressive features in the grief stages as well. So I know, and you know, as an adult, you have probably been through some of these stages yourself when you listen to this album. So trigger warning, right? And that's important for those of you who are just like, I'm not that type of person who wants to listen to that album. I know some of you still have PTSD features. And even though this album is called TTPD, there are some features that could bring out somebody's PTSD. And so what we're going for here on this episode is post-traumatic growth, to be able to say, Taylor left a disclaimer at the beginning of this album to say, this is, I'm leaving it here. This is a really hard moment in my life as an artist, as a person, and I'm closing the chapter on this album after you leave it too. So, you know, you have to realize like this is a moment in her life that she's asking you to perhaps join her on, to hear her, and most particularly on a big picture level, to not judge. So first and foremost, you don't have to listen if it's a trigger for you. I just was talking to a teenager today, not my girls, but somebody else, and asking them about the album. And they were like, no, it's too much of a trigger for me. And so I said, I actually think you're right. This is not the best album for you. Whereas I know when I talk to one of my teen clients who has a tattoo of Taylor Swift's Gold Rush, I know she's going to be all in, like absolutely gets it, feels it very deeply, and feels very competent to pursue her way through it. So I just think knowing yourself as you pursue a deep Dark Night of the Soul album is a really good idea. And even as I was explaining it to Wes, and he was listening to some of the tracks with us, he was really like, okay, this is not an album for me. It is very much a Tortured Poets album. I'm very happy with the football songs. He's loving this nod to Travis Kelce and all these things. He's like, I'm just happy if she's happy. She's an amazing artist. Like, I want her to be happy, but it sounds like she's not. And it sounds like she is actually now, and that when she wrote the album, she wasn't. And I know a lot of people who feel that way. Whereas I think that I'm in a job where I'm actually like, that's what I do for a living, is I like to sit with people in the dark night of the soul. So I like that you can do that, I hope, with your neighbors and friends who might disagree with you sometimes about like whether this album is a worthy venture for you or for them. And so that's, I guess, as we think about political seasons of this whole year, this kind of becomes one of those things. It's almost like, do you like Starbucks, Taylor Swift? Who are you voting for? Like, these are the big topics out there right now. So on this one, I just want to name it and say, like, guys, some people will really find this therapeutic. I was just looking at Battling to Breathe Instagram today, and she's like, oh my gosh, like I'm on the edge of life, and this is the one thing that just brightened my day. And she's a follower of Christ. And then there were other people who, whether atheist, follower of Christ, agnostic, wherever they are just staying away for other reasons of their own. So it's important you know that. I was also in my therapist group, and they were sharing, like me, like many of our clients are going to be in this album. So they were like sharing tracks that are meaningful to them. And then in the middle of this episode, you and I will go over some of the meaningful lyrics that I've enjoyed as well. But I just wanted to start there to say, like, this is an album from a woman who says, you know what? Like, I'm nearing the perimenopausal years. I am nearing the age where if I have a baby, she talks about stroller dreams and wedding ring finger teases in this album that, it's going to be later years for her, and she's not even there yet. And it's hard because she wants it. This is not what Time Magazine was referring to as those that are very happily single. This is somebody who's like, I am in the sexual instinct extreme right now. And perhaps, like I said, that's because of the age process that she's in, and maybe she's harvesting eggs. I'm not sure. But I mean, she's hopefully in her new era of happiness and joy and on that track right now. But she's also saying, like, you're opening the door to a period of my life when I was feeling like I'd been through a lot of relationships. I had just spent all these years of youth, she talks about and sings about, that I now have not had any recompense for. And it sounds like, she was cheated on. And I don't know that, but it sounds like that from the album. She makes that very clear that there's a younger woman. And it hurts her to share, but it's a very authentic telling for you if you're willing to listen. And I think that's really the big disclaimer before we dive into even a bit more of the lyrics, is just she's hopeful that people won't judge, and she's aware that she's been deeply judged before. And so she talks about the highly filled estrogen empaths, Hannah, Sarah's, wine moms, others who have really made her feel, judged her own parents by her choices. And yet I think we find her in the 478. You've heard Dr. Sam Greenberg perhaps talk about this, the sexual triad on the extreme level of just wanting a relationship so desperately. And I can remember wanting one. I wanted to get married, but also have a baby so desperately that as soon as my master's degree was finished, I'm like, I'm wrapping up shop. I need to go have that baby. Like, she's 10 years past where I was in that. And by the time I was her age, I had three kids and was married. And if you have that much angst in you and passion, I am just imagining as best as I can, To Kill a Mockingbird, thinking of that wonderful part where Atticus says, you've got to be able to like try to walk around in each other's shoes. We know compassion research is very big. I'm talking about that on our other podcast today. If you want to check out the Deeper Dive Pod, we're having a fascinating talk over there about what you can do to learn compassion for others. But that's just where I want to start you out, so that you can be somebody who allows yourself to see, like, wow, a tortured artist let me into their poetry, into their deepest soul. And I don't want to stay there all the time any more than she wants to stay there all the time. But delving in may look like a therapeutic process for you too, which we'll talk about at the end. But let's get into a couple of my favorite songs. And I would love to hear some of yours too. I asked already on my Instagram, and a couple of you named my favorite track of all, So Long London. It's track five, which I later found out was always a very important track on Taylor's albums. And I'm so glad she partnered with Aaron Dessner for this. I've always liked him a lot. And I love him and Jack Antonoff with her. Ever since they partnered with her, her writing has become so much richer and deeper. And she's grown up too. I mean, the three of them are just this trio that is just awesome. Wes and I were talking about it the other day, and he's like, I would love to do that. I'm like, I know, like, what fun to be able to sit and have such talent writing together. And so it's just a beautiful trio of writers. And this song, particularly So Long London, is the quintessential track of the whole album. Like, if you ask me, this is where it's at in terms of all of the biggest ticket feelings she's processing in angst. There is a I believe, a foil all through the album of Maddie Healy being seen as the biggest piece of the album. But that was just a tryst she had briefly, and it was very sparks fly, but it was not the main centralized theme, which is, of course, the bigger grief piece, which is I gave years and years to this guy who gave very little, ghosted me. She talks about, I still don't know what happened. Was this look you gave me with this side head cock anything? She's still watching him on Life 360-ish sorts of apps, going into the Black Dog. That's my other favorite song on the track. Also, as I said, just really clearly, this album is supremely about this huge breakup. And I think she and her three, him and his five, it's a lot of unknowns. I mean, I don't know if those are their exact types. They just seem to be, she seems to be in the achiever performer mainly. And then Joe Alwyn seemed to be the elusive five, who's like, I have a pen name. I don't want much to do with the public, and perhaps some competency issues. So I don't know that. All I know is that this is a very sad moment in her life as an artist she let us into. And when I heard all the songs, like, yes, there were some really like angsty, like day three of your period vibes that I saw one reviewer say, and I was like, yes, this is it. Or like heading into perimenopause. Like, I know clients who are having like two periods a month. I know how hard it is to be on day three. Like, I get it if this album feels like that. That's also how I feel about some of Ingrid Michaelson's songs, where she's like, my room feels wrong, my bed won't fit. Like, this whole album has that vibe. But when you really get down to in your journal, like I have my journal right here, I was using to write some in, when I got down to some of the deepest dive lyrics, I realized, like, oh no, these are the heart and soul songs that I can do some of my own therapeutic journaling with and really allow myself to remember, you know, this is what I came for when I come to this album, is, you know, yes, to sit with her and her lament, but also, of course, I love a good bop, and her songs by Jack Antonoff have that. But they also have, even his songs too, they all have this super deep dive element, which is where we get to say, like, some of these pieces are just devastating, and we can remember certain moments in our life where we may resonate with that. And I think that's where, like I said, our work can come in a little bit. So analyzing a bit of, like I said, now we've narrowed it down to sort of a quintessential double track, Black Dog and So Long London, as the two main pieces of her heart. And this, maybe you can also find something for your heart's work in it. A couple of the lyrics that really spoke to me were, you say I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a hard one and a good one. And I know we've had some conversations like that, Wes and I, in our dark night of the soul moments. And also, I love this line, I'm just getting color back in my face. And I'm mad because I've loved this place, but like, I especially love the line, I'm just getting color back into my face, because I think that that can really be, like I said, not only a hormonal thing, like probably you're not even thinking along those lines, you're just thinking of relationship. But I think it's like women are already having their cycles. And then on top of it, she was like, you know, I was just starting to recover now as I've been processing this whole album. I'm just starting to, but I'm mad. I'm in this Elizabeth Kubler-Ross stages of grief where I'm also awakening to how mad I am that you took my youth, that you traded me for a youth, and that you are easily going to find somebody, but I'm going to be here with being a woman and on this ticking time clock, and I'm wet through my clothes. It's just a really good song to talk about female angst. And again, yes, you may be like, this is a hormonal album, I can't do this very often. I get that. Oh my gosh, I get that. But if you need some kind of therapeutic release and you may find a comfort in knowing that you're not alone in a hard moment or season, I think it's also beautiful. I've had clients recover through Folklore and really allow themselves and other albums to take some time to really do some of their work alongside Taylor. So I think that that's one of the reasons why I just love that song. And I love the Black Dog song so much too. I think because of the vulnerability that she opened the door for us to see her human side so much when she says, you know, like, I was doing the Life 360 thing. I did see you go into the bar with this younger girl, and I did feel all the feelings of a normal human. And we see that in others of her songs as well, where she talks about like the whole Eras tour was faking being happy and money not buying her what she wanted, and her begging God in the skies and hoping that she could have a priest excise her of all of the angst, but knowing that's not going to be possible. You can't pay your way through this situation. And so I don't think she's left God. I know some people feel like she has. I think she's hurt by people who are judging her, and she's still crying crying out to the skies, like, there's a little longer. Can I find the love of my life? And that's what I think we'll find when she discovers, maybe with Travis, that yes, and now she's lining back up spiritually and emotionally and socially and also sexually. Like, there may be this missing piece for her that is just going to click when she finally gets this new era for herself of having the things she has expressed she wants so badly, which are basically marriage and family. So I'm really glad that we can process through those songs. There are a lot of witchy references too. As you guys probably know, a lot of times for women in history, there's been a sense of, as women get older, there's a lot of witchy vibes. We lose the shine in our hair. We like get more moles, wrinkles, flabby skin, especially after having babies or perhaps losing weight, gaining weight. And she's referencing, like, I know that, like Elphaba sort of does in Wicked, you know, you are calling me out on being bad. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to find somebody. And it's really hard. And she also talks about this in Reputation albums, you know, that people who aren't even witches are getting burned for it. And I think she's really allowing herself to say, if this is the motif you have for me, I'll just write myself in and cackle along. She's got a song where she laments that she's sort of this toothless person coming after you, or Kim Kardashian. And there are pieces that you're not sure, is she joking? Is she serious? And I think that's how men often think about women actually on their periods. Like, are you okay? What do I do? Do I move forward? Do I move away? And it can be confusing and complex because we do change every week of our cycles. And so I think that that's something that we have to talk more about. And she gives us permission to do that because she's like, hey, I'm this hottest girl around and I even have stuff. But as we come into that later part of her episode, I'll just remind you all of her song, The Manuscript, which I think finishes us off really well as an album, because she writes, the professor says to write what you know. And she says, looking backwards might be the only way forward. And that's a really great space for us to end today, because if you know anything about therapeutic writing, you've heard me talk a lot about it, I hope here, that sometimes thinking it out doesn't give us enough post-traumatic growth, but actually writing it out does in paragraph form to say, this has been hard. This is why I have my journal here today with me. This is something that I think people need to realize, like when we're going through something tough, whether it's the health area or the sexual area or the social area, often writing can be huge, and sharing in community. So that's what I'm doing with you here today, is to remind you to share with your people your stuff, but also write it out, get it out of your head, and hopefully help the narrative to be one like she did here, where you're like, okay, I see it. I see that I'm still valued. I'm still loved. Maybe I lost self-worth for a while. Maybe I lost my way. I know I read when the actress Olivia Munn had a big self-pres moment when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's like, everything else fell away while I focused on that. Obviously here, Taylor, everything's falling away where she's thinking about her sexual instinct. So give her some grace as she walks through that painful moment. Allow yourself to give yourself grace, whatever painful moment you're walking through. And hopefully you can balance along with her socially and sexually and self-pres, and also hopefully a great spiritual life overlay where you're reaching up your hands to God and asking for that help and support. But I hope you don't have a judgmental community around you. I hope you can find safe people who love you on your highs and lows. I hope you can incorporate some time where you allow yourself to see people who might see the world differently from you and say, okay, maybe this album wasn't for you in this moment. It wasn't the right fit for you. It was for me, or vice versa. But have fun with this. I hope that you go back and find the songs that you love most from the album. Feel free to tell me your thoughts. I am so glad we got to have a Taylor that, like, a Four Wing Five album that was just out there and unhinged for us to see. We're not alone when we have those days. But I also hope that, like Taylor says she does, I hope that you wrap it up and that you don't pull this album out when you don't need it, because I think it could really derail you if you do. Allow it to be when you need it, that you can come to it and say, thank you for sharing your heart. I'm not alone, but I'm also moving on forward and leaving that chapter where it was so that I can grow. So hopefully you'll do that. And thank you so much for being here with me today. This has been a really fun episode to record with you guys. Okay, bye-bye. Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcast or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.
This episode was brought to you in part by the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast, an outreach dedicated to bringing joy, strength, intimacy, and purpose to couples seeking growth. Be sure to visit enneagramandmarriage.com to find your chemistry together again, or for the very first time.